remain standing, let us turn together now once more to the book of Titus. In the Bible, beginning chapter 3, this evening we will be hearing the words of Titus 3, verses 1 through 2. Hear now, saints, the word of the Lord our God. Paul says to Titus, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord our God, in hearing these words read as the word of God in the sanctuary where the Christian people worship, I believe that it strikes us all tonight that these are timely words. And so we thank you for that, Lord. We are reminded of your providence, that all the little details of life, as confusing as they may be at times, are quite well within your control. And that you are working all things together for the good of those who love you now, as you always have and will. We pray, Lord God, as we come to hear the word, as we come to receive instruction from the Lord our God, as we come to open our hearts unto the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So we pray, Lord God, that you would bless us. We pray that you would provide your church with the guidance and encouragement that it needs for the challenges of this hour, and we pray above all else, Lord, that you would be glorified in your mercies unto us, your people who trust in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Christians, the Bible teaches us, as you know, that in becoming followers of Jesus Christ, we are, in an important sense, being summoned out of the world. Even though we remain in the world as the Church of Jesus Christ, and this great time between His first and second coming, that we are not to be of the world, though we have been in the past. Yet now we are born of God. And we forsake one kingdom, which we recognize as the kingdom of darkness, in order to enter into another kingdom, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we make this transition from one set of loyalties to another set of loyalties, from one kingdom and its kings to another kingdom and its kings. So we are to come out of the world. And in coming out of the world, we are to renounce the sinfulness of the world out of which we are leaving. And we are to stand apart in this world in uncompromised holiness, as the saved of the Lord Jesus Christ, in acknowledgement of His Lordship, and we are by our lives and by our testimony to bear witness to the sinfulness of the world that we are forsaking, because that world will perish and we would not perish with it. We understand as well as Christians, because Jesus, our King, has warned us that world hates Him, that it is in rebellion against Him and hates the light that He brings into this world, because it exposes their evil deeds. And Jesus has declared in no uncertain terms that the world hates Him. We have seen that in the world's crucifixion of Jesus Christ and the way that it has opposed Him throughout the ages. And Jesus says, likewise, my people, you who are now my followers in this world, the world will hate you too. The world will oppose you. The world will scoff at you. The world will do all that it can to suppress your witness and to silence you, that there should be no reminder unto them in this world of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. There's a great deal here that is troubling, in that we are called upon to understand that our relationship with the world now as the church is a troubled one. And that is as it should be. That is as it must be, and it cannot be otherwise. That is what God has ordained. He has put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And you cannot make it otherwise. This is part of the deal. This is part of what we are called to as the Christian people, to stand on the side of Christ. And in standing on the side of Christ, to make ourselves, in an important sense, the enemies of this world. And so it may surprise us then, as we have come to understand this, that Jesus and his apostles teach us then that of all people in this world, we, the followers of Jesus Christ, the Christian people, the members of the church, are to be the best citizens. We are to be the best citizens in this world. We, the Christian people, are to be model citizens in every conceivable way. That we are not to be contentious, but if at all possible, we are to be cooperative. We are not to be disengaged, but if at all possible and in every way possible, we are to be as useful as we can be in this world. And that we are not to be troublemakers, but of all people, we are to seek to live at peace with all men as much as is possible for us. How can that be? How can the Bible teach both of these things at one and the same time? To teach us to see ourselves as those who are renouncing the world and the sinfulness of the world, on the one hand, as the followers of Jesus Christ, and on the other hand, to teach us to be the very best citizens that this world knows. And the answer that I hope that you see is that this is part of the way in which we stand apart in holiness from the world and bear witness to its sin. The world and its citizens ought to be better citizens than they are. Their rebellion against the state and their laziness and their inclination to quarrel and to always be at war with one another is part of the sin that Jesus is calling us out of. A part of the sentence that we now stand, part of the sin that we now stand apart and bear witness against with our lives, and thus part of the reason that the world hates us. Because by our model citizenship, we condemn them. Well, what lousy citizens they really are in the world. So you see that there's no real incompatibility here. If you understand the why, it makes perfect sense that we as the Christian people, of all people, ought to be the best citizens in the world. This is what Paul is teaching Titus to teach the members of the Christian church. I think it's a very clear passage in that respect. And let's look at it together now. Paul says in chapter 3, verse 1, remind them. So notice that, first of all. Remind them. So what Paul is saying here is what I am now telling you to tell the members of the churches on the island of Crete is something that they have heard before. This is not new doctrine. This is not teaching them something which they've not yet received. But this is teaching them something that they have heard before, but which they need to be reminded of. So remind them. And so what I want you to see is that this doctrine in verses 1 through and 2, respecting the Christian's responsibilities as a citizen, was basic apostolic doctrine. This was something that the apostles of Jesus Christ taught early and in all of the churches in which they were involved. And so Paul says here, remind them. Remind them, and that's what I'm doing with you tonight. I'm not telling you something that you haven't heard before. I'm not telling you something that you don't know. But in this moment, I'm reminding you the sort of citizens that we, as the Christian people, are to be. First, Paul says here that Christians are to be the most cooperative citizens in the world, insofar as is possible without denying the lordship of Jesus Christ. Christians are to be the most cooperative citizens in the world, insofar as it is possible without denying the lordship of Jesus Christ, the supreme authority of His Word. Paul says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey. The rulers and authorities are almost certainly civil rulers and authorities. That is more explicit in other passages. But since Paul has already spoken about church authorities, I think it's a fair assumption that he's speaking particularly here of civil authorities. And he's saying to the Christian people, be subject to the civil authorities. Recognize the civil authority as a legitimate authority in your life, and that it is a God-ordained authority, and be subject to that authority. And how are we to be subject to civil authorities, to those rulers and to those authorities? Paul says, by obeying them. The civil authority issues decrees. The civil authority makes laws. And insofar as is possible for us, the Christian people, to do so without denying the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to obey the civil authority. And as Paul says elsewhere, to pray for them and to show them all honor. So for our part, let's just bring this home. Christians, you are to be subject to the authority of Barack Obama, the President of the United States of America. It is good that you should come to church and hear that, and that it should be shown you very plainly from the Word that is the apostolic doctrine. You are to be subject to that man. He is a God-ordained authority. He's been given a degree of civil power, the sword, as Paul says in another place, in order that he might punish the wicked and defend the innocent. We pray for him. We want him to do that. We need him to do that. And insofar as he commands us, if we can, we're going to be as cooperative as we can be so that he can do his job. And not only Barack Obama, but also the Supreme Court. And also the legislature, Congress, Senate, and the House of Representatives. And not only the federal government, but also the state government. And all the state authorities. And not only state authorities, but local authorities. As the Christian people, we are to be subject to local authorities. We are to, if at all possible, without denying the lordship of Jesus Christ, we are to, as a matter of conscience, as a means of bearing witness against the sin of this world, we are to obey local ordinances. Whether we think they are wise, whether they are practically convenient, if the civil authority, though it be a local authority, says you are to dispose of your paint cans this way, then we are to dispose of our paint cans that way. You know you can obey that ordinance without denying the lordship of Jesus Christ. And so that is what you are to do on principle. On principle. In a world in which the citizens of our towns and our states and our nation do not obey these ordinances. Remember here that the Apostle Paul is, in speaking to these Gentiles on the island of Crete, and telling them to be subject to the civil authorities, the rulers and authorities, and to obey them. In that time period, the Apostle Paul is talking potentially about Nero. Obey Nero, Paul is saying. And the Christian is to say, we shall. If at all possible, without denying the lordship of Jesus Christ and the supreme authority of His Word and the Scriptures, then we will be as cooperative. We will be the best citizens for Nero that we can possibly be. That is the apostolic doctrine. The civil authority should love us. The civil authority should love the Christian people. But in many times in this world it doesn't, and it won't. Why? Because we refuse to deny the lordship of Jesus Christ. And that's the only reason. Because otherwise, we are the best, the most cooperative citizens in the world. The second thing that Paul teaches in these verses is that we as Christians are to be the most useful citizens in the world. Again, verse 1, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. The word good there is the Greek word agathos. It particularly means useful. Be ready as the Christian people for every good work. Right? This is in context of the summons to be subject to rulers and authorities and to obey. So here, we're not talking necessarily about the service of the civil authorities, but we're talking about the service of society. That we are to be a people who are desirous and ready to do whatever good needs to be done in society. That is our desire. That is who we hope to be and to show ourselves to be with respect to our neighbor. What it is that we see our neighbor needs. We are to be ready for every good work. To be the most helpful neighbor that we can possibly be. With respect to our town. As we go out into town and we see things going on around us. Particular needs that there may be. We as the Christian people should be ready. To jump, to volunteer, to do whatever it is that needs to be done to help. If there is the need for all the members of society to come together to accomplish some work for the good of all, then we as the Christian people should be the first people to step forward to say, I'll help. I'll do my part. Right? Be ready for every good work as a Christian, Paul is saying. Granted, you can't do everything. Paul's not asking you to do everything. You have to prioritize your responsibilities, and certainly your first responsibilities are responsibilities to your home, spouse, children, so forth and so on. But there is a little time. There is a place, and more at some times in life than others, in which we really can be quite helpful to society. Very, very active and charitable members of society, and we should be. There's a lot of people in this world who do everything that they can not to be ready for every good work. They make no effort whatsoever to be. It's not who they want to be. They have no interest in being ready to do every good work. They make every possible excuse not to be. The world is quite full of lazy citizens and societies that suffer for the lack of care, the lack of concern, and the willingness to help among the citizens of this world. Should not be so among the Christians. In this world that hates Jesus Christ, and in this world that opposes and would do all that it can to blaspheme, to smear the name of Jesus Christ and the Church of Jesus Christ, we should, in the midst of that world, show ourselves to be the people among all people who are most ready for every good work that is brought before us. When we are that people, the world will hate us. Why? Because we do not deny the lordship of Jesus Christ. And that is the only reason. And then lastly, the Apostle Paul says in verse 2 that as Christians, we are to be the most peaceable citizens in the world. Again, insofar as is possible, insofar as it depends upon us, without denying the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's always a given. To deny the Lordship of Jesus Christ for the sake of peace, for the sake of being helpful, for the sake of being cooperative, that defeats the purpose. The whole purpose is to bear witness to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So that is the one thing that we cannot do, is deny the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But short of that, if at all possible, if we can live at peace with all men, without denying the Lordship of Jesus Christ, then that is what we're called to do. Verse 2. Paul says, remind them to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. So first, remind them to speak evil of no one. In a world full of evil speaking, in a world full of people who do not restrain themselves, who seem to relish the opportunity to speak evil of another, whether it's a private individual or a public person, whether it's somebody close to them or somebody far away, whether it's somebody in the room or somebody that we come across on the computer, whatever. In one way or another, this world is full of evil speaking, and the Apostle Paul is saying, remind Christians, the members of the Church of Jesus Christ, that that is not to be named among them. If we think evil, restrain your tongue. And this is, as far as it is possible, through God's grace to you in Jesus Christ, kill the sin in your heart that would incline you to speak evil. Love your neighbor. Care about his good name. And do everything that you can to give him the benefit of the doubt, to uphold that good name, that all that you would have to say to him and of him would be that which is good and helpful unto him. Be that member of society. Speak evil of no one. Be peaceable, Paul says. That is not a troublemaker, not a person who is contentious and stirring up strife. We don't want to argue. That's not what we want. We'll go out of our way to avoid an argument. We don't want contention. We don't want strife with our neighbors and those around us. We will go out of our way to avoid strife and trouble. We will be willing to be wrong and not answer evil with evil, but answer evil with good. If we are cursed, we will bless. Right? We are a peace-loving people, the Christian people. And that should be the experience of people in this world everywhere that we go. Paul goes on and says, be gentle. The word gentle here in the Greek, the root of this word means reasonable. So I think the idea here is in dealing with people, be reasonable. Be as fair as you can be to them. Don't go to extremes. Don't be driven onto some sort of foolish response to people by your emotions, but treat people in a way that's reasonable, that's fair, and show them your gentleness as a follower of Jesus Christ. And lastly, verse 2 says, show all humility to all men. And this is where we really set ourselves apart. And in a world that has, really has no spring, no source from which to draw genuine humility before other men, we as the Christian people are to drink deeply from the fountain of God's love for us at the cross of Jesus Christ, in order that pride in us might be in every way mortified and weakened, that we might become as humble as we can possibly be. So much of the fighting, so much of the strife in this world is really just a matter of pride. It's just a bunch of people who are jockeying for position, praise, glory, whatever it is that they think that their ego needs. And that's why they're always fighting. But we as the Christian people should be like something that they have never seen in their lives. in our willingness to esteem others more highly than ourselves. If there's anything, any way in which we can distinguish ourselves from the world against which we are bearing witness, it is in that way. We are to show them the beauty of humility, understanding that they will hate us for, as they hated the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to emphasize that point. In doing what Paul says here, you don't do it to make your life easier. You don't actually do it to make friends and to make people like you. You might, but it's just as likely that you will not. If that's your goal, is to please people and to have people be pleased with you, the reality is that you won't do what the Apostle Paul is saying. And so your summons here in the Word of God is to be a model citizen, to be the most cooperative, the most useful, the most peaceable member of society that you can possibly be, the citizen that the world ought to love, understanding that for that very reason they will not love you. And in this way you bear witness to their sin and to the contrasting lordship of Jesus Christ. I'll point out to you that these two verses are a part of, they ought to be considered a part of, the overall emphasis here in chapter 2, which is carrying over into chapter 3 on godliness. The book of Titus is to you as Christians, in an important way, a summons to godliness. Remember, that's the great theme of Titus, which is the truth which accords with godliness. Paul is teaching Titus to teach you to be godly and all that that means. And this is part of godliness. Godliness, you recognize here, means for us that we would be concerned about ourselves. Or to say that more pointedly, that you would be concerned about yourself. If I know myself to be summoned to be godly as a follower of Jesus Christ, then that means I have to be concerned about my character. And that I have to be concerned about my behavior. I have to be concerned about what I say and what I don't say. I need to be concerned about my soul and what is influencing my soul. I need to be concerned about whether or not I am abiding in the true vine of Jesus Christ, because without Him I can do nothing. So the summons to godliness involves us becoming concerned about ourselves, which means devoting considerable time to self-examination and prayer and the study of Scripture and repenting of our sins and so forth and so on. The life of a piety and personal devotion necessarily flows out of the summons to godliness. That being said, our concern as a people who would be godly is a concern for ourselves, but it's not a selfish concern. See the difference? There is a sort of spirituality which is selfish, which is all about me feeling like I had a good day, or me feeling full and happy and so forth and so on. That's not really the focus here, is it? It's me recognizing, being concerned about myself, because I recognize that I am part of something greater than myself. It's me being concerned about myself because I recognize as a Christian that I am a bearer of the image of God. And that is a great privilege. And that for that reason, if I love the Lord my God, who is restoring that image unto me, then I should seek to be as godly as I can be, to bear His image well. It's the understanding that I as a Christian am part of the church, and a representative of the church as I go out into the world. That what the world thinks about church is related in some way unto what the world thinks about me. And that I should take that responsibility seriously and seek to be the sort of person, to exhibit the sort of character and behavior that would adorn the gospel with that which is fitting, to use Paul's words in Titus. And furthermore, that I as a Christian am part of society. I won't say we're part of the world, because, in the most important sense, we've been called out of the world. But we are members of society. We have a place here. Our neighbors are our neighbors. Our town is our town. Our state is our state. Our nation is our nation. We are subject to those authorities. We do have a witness to bear, an example to set, so forth and so on. And that I need to take that seriously. That I need to consider what my neighbors see in me and what that tells them about the sort of citizen that a Christian is. That I need to realize that the world generally is watching the church in the state of Georgia, in the United States of America. And what is it that they see? What do they see in me? What do they see in us? Godliness leads me to be concerned about myself, but it's not a selfish concern. Ultimately, it's a concern for God and others and the impact that I am having upon God's glory and the witness that needs to be borne for the world. It seems like a high calling. I'll make it pretty simple for you. What Paul is telling us here is that as the followers of Jesus Christ in this world, our goal, our aspiration ought to be like Christ. It's a simple concept. It's one that you hear a lot in the church. Here it is certainly appropriate. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the world hated. Think about his life as it is described to us in the Gospels. What sort of man, what sort of citizen was the Lord Jesus Christ? He was the godly man. The prime, the perfect example of a godly man. And as the godly man, he was the model citizen. Jesus Christ was subject to rulers and authorities as far as was possible without denying his own lordship and that of the Father who sent him. The Lord Jesus Christ was a man who was ready for every good work, not a lazy man, but a working man, a ministering man, a man who had a great concern for the people around him and did what was in his power to help them if he could. And the Lord Jesus Christ was a peaceful man, in as much as was possible in a world which hated him and was determined that there should be trouble. So we are to be like Jesus. That's what Paul's saying here. The mantle is now passed from him unto us. What he was in the world, we now are to be in the world. That is what it is to be godly. We continue to stand apart from this world as a city on the hill, as a light in the world, which is the light of Jesus Christ, and in his name to bear witness against that sin, which is the cause of all this world's rebellion and fighting and lack of concern and care for one another. You all are called to that. Monroe Presbyterian Church and its members are called tonight to be the sort of citizen that Jesus Christ was in his life. I encourage you to think about whether or not you're doing that. To think about very real ways in which you can see that you did need to be reminded of this tonight. And to see that you have sins and shortcomings which you need to confess and of which you need to repent in order that the witness that we bear as the members of the Church of Jesus Christ as Christians in this world would be all that it should be. Our neighbors, our towns, our nation, and ultimately this world need this of us. Whether it pleases them or no, they need to find us to be the best of all possible citizens in the world. As we close tonight, let's turn in our hymnals once more to 295. Crown him with many crowns as we stand and sing. Please come forward as we finish out our service tonight.